And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of James this morning. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. It's been said that mankind has three problems: sin, sorrow, and death. And when you think about it, every trial or trouble fits into one of those categories: sin, sorrow, or death. Also, God has provided the answer to those problems: His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the answer to sin because He died on the cross, was buried in the grave, and He arose 3 days later. And all those that repent and believe on Jesus Christ are forgiven of their sin, and they are pardoned because of Jesus Christ. He is also the answer to sorrow, because the Bible tells us with His strength we can overcome or do all things in the power and strength of Jesus Christ. And when you think about death, eternal life comes from Jesus Christ. So He's the answer to all three of those. Now, our series, Overcoming Adversity, deals with the middle one. We're talking about sorrow, troubles and trials, difficult times that you might have. Jesus Christ can help us through those difficult times. And that's what we're talking about in our series, Overcoming Adversity. Because we live in a world where there are problems, we need God's help to get through those problems. So today, I want to talk about the purpose of adversity, or what we would call the purpose of trials, the purpose of troubles in your life. Why would God allow us to have difficult times? Have you ever thought about that? Why does God allow us to have a difficult day? Maybe you woke up and your car wouldn't start. You had to be somewhere at work or an appointment, and you're thinking, why now? Why would God allow this? Or other problems you might have. Why would God allow you to have these problems? Well, let's find out this morning. Let's talk about that. So the book of James, chapter 1, verse 1 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. This morning, we're going to look at verses 2 and 3. Lord, I thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings You've given to us. And as we look at these verses, I pray, Lord, that You work in our hearts here this morning. Help us to get a good understanding of Your Word. And Holy Spirit, I pray that You apply Your Word to our hearts here today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to just give you five. I have five thoughts. If you take notes, I have five thoughts on this passage, on why God would allow us to be troubled, the purpose of adversity. The first thought that comes to my mind when we read these two verses is delight. Now, you don't often think of delight or joy or happiness with problems, but you'll notice the beginning of verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy. So let's talk about the delight of problems, of troubles, or trials. You know, we're to count it all joy when tempted. That word count means consider. Another way to phrase this is we are to count it nothing but joy when we are tested or tried. Or we're to count it complete joy or pure joy that we're going through these troubles. Now, I don't know about you, but doesn't that seem a little bit odd? That we're to be joyful when tested or tried? Also, it's difficult sometimes to be joyful or to rejoice in our hardships. And some may even think it's impossible to obey this with some of the trials that God may allow into our life. But let me remind you of something this morning. It's not the trouble or the trial that we're rejoicing over. We're not happy for the problem. We rejoice because of the result that that trouble is going to produce in our life. Let me explain this. Difficulties draw us closer to God. You know, when we have hard times in our life, we tend to seek God's help. Maybe we pray more. Maybe we read the Bible more. Maybe we ask God for more help because we're just having a difficult time. So sometimes those difficulties will draw us closer to God.
Amen.
And that produces joy. So we can be joyful that God is allowing this in our life so we can go to Him. And we can worship Him. You see, God cares for us. That's the first thing. God cares for us. That's why He allows some problems in our life, because He knows there are some situations where, because He allows it, it's going to bring us closer to Him. Now, some people are stubborn in this world. I'm one of them. And God knows for stubborn people, sometimes He needs to bring them to Him. And sometimes that is due to a difficulty, a hardship. Also, we were reminded that God will never forsake us. Even when we're going through a difficult time, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And He'll work in and through our lives. That's why we rejoice. Because we know God is going to bless us in some way. That God has a plan for us. And this hard time is part of that plan. And we're reminded of that. You know, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says this: rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We're to rejoice in God at all times. Whether we're on top of the mountain having all the blessings, or if we're going through a deep valley where we're going through struggles and difficult times, we're to always rejoice in the Lord because God is good. So we don't have to fear when we have troubles. We just need to walk by faith. In other words, don't live to avoid those difficulties because they're going to be out there. Don't live to avoid them, but approach them with joy when God allows them into your life. So that's the first thought as far as this passage is delight. Be joyful. Number two, let's talk about diversity. You know, that's a word that people use today in work sites or in our community. We talk about diversity. It simply means different or various. You'll notice in verse 2 of James 1, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Now that word diverse or divers, however you want to pronounce it, basically it refers to diversity, to different is what it's referring to. Various, I guess, is another word you could use. Here's my thought on this. You know, troubles come in many different packages. And I'm going to give you some examples this morning. And some of these you may relate to. How about disappointments in life? There are a lot of disappointments. Something just didn't work out the way we hoped it would work. And it's a disappointment. How about unmet expectation? Have you ever expected something to happen? And when it didn't happen, you were let down? A little bit discouraged? Now this can happen in your personal life. This can happen in your career. Maybe you have looked for a promotion. You applied for a position. And you were certain you had it. But for some reason, you didn't receive it. It's an unmet expectation. You just didn't receive that. And those can be discouraging. Also, how about unfulfilled dreams? Unfulfilled dreams. You know, you may have had all these goals and these dreams and all these things you're going to do. And then you turn around one day and you say, "Where did all the time go? Wherever it went, I didn't fulfill all these dreams and all these goals that I had." And that can discourage you. Here's a few more. How about failure? Failure of any kind can be discouraging. You fail at work, you fail in a project, you fail at home. Failure is adversity. That's difficult to take. Rejection. Nobody likes to be rejected. We like to be accepted. But sometimes in life, we are rejected. Maybe we don't meet the standard that someone else has, and we're rejected. How about misunderstandings? Someone misunderstands you. Or loss. Loss of a loved one. That's adversity. They're taken home to be with the Lord. How about loss of job maybe, or loss of opportunity? Those are problems that we may have to deal with. A few more. How about loneliness? Sometimes we can think we're the only one in the world. You get lonely. Maybe you're away from your family and you miss your family. Maybe you're away from friends and you miss your friends. And you become lonely. That's difficult to deal with. How about fear? We can be afraid of things. You know, as we get older, our fears change. It used to be you might be afraid of ghosts or someone under your bed when you're a kid. You're older and all of a sudden you might be afraid because, guess what, I got to make the payment on this bill. I hope the money comes in. Or different fears begin to set in as we get older and you have fears. There's a few more. How about criticism? Someone criticizes you or says something negative towards you. Or even conflict. Any kind of conflict, maybe within family. You did have a disagreement. You disagree. And all of a sudden, you know, there are some families I've met that, you know what, they hardly ever get together just because they live maybe in the same city. They just disagree with each other. So they never talk. Or at work, you may have a disagreement with someone at work. These are all examples of difficulties, hardships. You could probably list more this morning. Those are just a few examples. The point I want to make is there are a lot of problems that we have to deal with. And that's what James is saying, diverse temptations. There's a lot of things to deal with. You know, we have found in our world today, 2019, that technology has advanced, but troubles remain. You know, it was Job in the book of Job. He said this. Job chapter 14 verse 1 said, "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble." He said that right when he was in the middle of his difficulties. And I probably tend to agree with him. Seems like life is short and problems are everywhere. That's just part of living in this world. So we need to understand we're going to be tested in life. And that's what James is saying. Diverse temptations. Number three, let's consider the difficulties now. Verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Now, to explain this one, let me explain what that word temptation in our version here, our English version, what we find. That word, it doesn't has nothing evil in it. It's not referring to being tempted to sin, that you want to do something wrong or bad. The word in Greek actually means putting to proof, like a test. You're taking a test. We have some students that might be coming up on this pretty soon. You have tests coming up. That's what this word is referring to. Having to take a test and being tested. The implication is you're being tested to verify that you have knowledge or that you know something. It's actually being tested by experiment is what this word is talking about. So what we find in this passage is he's talking about our character. It conveys that who you are as a person, when you go through a difficult time, that's a test of you, a test of your character, a test of the kind of person you are, how you're going to deal with it, how you're going to handle this. We find that hard times, adversity, tests our faith to see if we act appropriately. And you say, "Pastor, how are we to act appropriately?" I think we simply submit to God's will and we trust in Him with the situation, no matter what it is. When it's out of our hands, it's in God's hands, and we simply trust in the Lord to work, and we submit unto Him. And so we find that difficulties, trials are difficult. A testing can be difficult. You know, some tests will take you to your limit. I don't know about you, when I was in class, I didn't like tests. I just didn't care for them. I didn't do too well on them either. Maybe that's why I didn't care for them too much. But let me give you some thoughts on tests and difficulties in general in life. First off, troubles can come what I would call rapidly, one after another. Have you ever had a hard time or a difficult time, and it seems like when you were through with that, something else came up and something else came up? For example, let's say your car didn't start. When you finally got it started, halfway to work, your tire blew out and you had to go fix the flat tire. And then when you got to work, you had all these problems at work. You see, it seems like one thing after another. That's what can happen in this world sometimes. They just happen real quick, one after another. Also, we can have troubles, what I would call, at every point in life. You know, it's not like we have troubles just in one area. You can have difficulties at home. You can have difficulties at work. You can have difficulties at church. You can have difficulties all over the place. And it seems like they come in all these different directions. Sometimes it seems like, you know, everywhere you turn, there's a difficulty. That's just part of this world. Also, they can come where you least expect it too sometimes. Another thought on adversity or troubles is they can be very intense. What I mean by this is there are some problems that can wear you out. Some adversities can just wear you out physically and even emotionally. They can just drain you, because they're just so stressful and so hard. And some of you may attest to that. You say, "Pastor, I've went through things like that." Well, that's adversity. And there might be times you might be tempted to say, "Everything is against me." Or you may be tempted to say, there's no hope. Those are the temptations that are with adversity. You may be tempted to say, why should I continue? Why? We must remember, with God, all things are possible. There is no difficulty too great for God to overcome. And if you belong to God, He can give you strength to get through every situation, everything you come across. Every mountain you have to climb, He can help you over it. Every valley you go through, guess what? He can lead you through it. One step at a time, one day at a time, sometimes one minute at a time. You just walk with God, follow His direction, and remain faithful to Him, no matter how difficult it is. You see, these trials and troubles can test our faith. And that's where we must remain close to God. The fourth thought this morning, I have five of them. Here's number four. Let's go back. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And then he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Number four, I do believe when we're tested, here's how I'll call it. It's a display. There are some things that are immediately displayed when you're tested. Now here in a minute, we're going to talk about how trials and troubles will build us up. But before a trouble will build you up, it'll reveal some things in your life. And let me give you three things that they'll reveal. And as we go into this, remember tests. That's what this is a test of our faith. You know some things that tests reveal? They reveal if you've studied or not, right? Unless you get lucky and happen to just get everything right, which can happen sometimes. Never happened for me anyway. They reveal if you are on par, if you've done what is right or what is correct, or if you are ready. First, a difficult time will reveal your faith. That's what it's going to reveal. It's going to reveal if you're a true believer or not. You see, there must be faith there if it's going to be tested. Someone who is saved is not someone who is better than anybody else. Someone who is saved is not someone who is perfect. Someone who is saved is someone who has put their faith in Jesus and believed on Him for salvation. And once you're saved, you belong to God. And when you're tested, your faith will be revealed that you are a child of God. Because you're not going to run. You're not going to quit. You're going to continue to live for the Lord. It's also going to reveal how strong your faith is. If you have strong faith or not. You know, true strength is known when our faith is tested. Just like when you take a test, maybe for a class, you're going to discover how, I don't know if I want to say how smart you are, I won't put it that way. You're going to discover if you have the knowledge for that test. You'll find out, hey, I should have studied more. Maybe I should have read that book, or I should have prepared this way. Or you may say, it's revealed that you're ready. You passed. You did a good job. You had the knowledge. Well, it's the same with our faith. We're going to be tested, and our faith will be revealed if our faith is strong or if it's weak. And so during afflictions, we must continue by faith and trust in the Lord. Here's the second thing I believe it'll reveal. It'll reveal desires. What I mean by that, it's going to reveal what you love and what you long for. That's what it's going to reveal. One pastor put it this way. He said, you'll never know your love for God until you have to watch Him take somebody home. In other words, you lose a loved one. Then you realize, I need to put my faith in God. I need to trust in the Lord to get me through this difficult time and this trial or this trouble. Warren Wiersbe said this. He goes, if we value comfort in life, then these trials are going to upset us. But if we look to God, these trials will strengthen us. So it's going to reveal what we want, what we love. If we love the things of the world, then when the trials come, we may struggle. Even, you know, we can be saved, we may struggle with these. That's what it's going to reveal. Number three, it's going to reveal our attitude towards God. A few questions for you when you go through a trial that I have. First, do you blame God for the problems? Or do you look to God for help? See, it's going to reveal your attitude. Some people blame God when a problem comes. Oh God, why'd you do this or why you do that? And we're probably all guilty of that to some degree. But eventually, the true believer is going to look to God for help. They're going to look to God for strength. And they're going to seek after the Lord. So think about that. Do we blame God or do we look to God for help? Here's another one. Do we gripe and complain or do we grow in God's grace where we are? I think we're all guilty of griping and complaining a little bit because nobody likes to have problems. But when it comes down to it, we need to grow right where God has placed us. Seek Him out and trust that He's got us where He wants us and He'll continue to bless us. Let me give you an illustration on this. Jewelers, those that deal with rare jewels, they often use what they call the water test to identify true diamonds. You know, because like everything else, there's always fakes out there. People are trying to pass off fake ones for real ones. A genuine diamond placed in water sparkles brilliantly. Whereas the sparkle of an imitation diamond, when it sits under the water, the sparkle will begin to go away. Often that's how jewelers, when they can't tell, will deal with diamonds. They'll do the water test. Because the true diamond will sparkle. Loved ones, think about that for a moment. The true believer, when tested, will shine. Not because of who they are, but because they're putting their faith in God. They're trusting in the Lord. And the Lord is going to bless them. And so the trial, obviously, the difficulty, will be a blessing in disguise. Or another way to think about it, the late G.K. Chesterton, here's the way he put it, talking about troubles and trials. You know, sometimes we call, when you get into trouble, you get into hot water. Well, here's the way he put it. He said, "I believe in getting into hot water. I think it keeps you clean." That's the way he put it. Sometimes we need these difficulties so that way we look to God. And we live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. So here's my fifth one now. The fifth one, let's talk about what this develops in your life. The development, the purpose of this. And that gets us here to verse 3. It says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." The trying of your faith worketh patience. There are three things I want you to know. Three things as far as knowledge here. Because it says, "Knowing this." First, we need to know the reality of trials and troubles. The reality. In other words, you are going to be tested. There is nobody that has lived in this world that has not had a difficult day. My best to put it the other way, there's probably nobody in this world that's had a perfect day. We all have difficult days. So we know we're going to have some problems in this world. Now that's not to say we look forward to them. That just says we understand that there's going to be some trials and troubles and we prepare ourselves. Let's be ready so that way we can grow through these and not get ourselves into more trouble. So we need to know the reality. Number two, we need to know the reason for these trials. Notice he says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." The word "worketh" there is referring to labor. It implies hard work. If you're going to be built up and strengthened, you got to work. The illustration I like to think of an athlete in training. No matter what sport an athlete plays, if they are an elite athlete, they have done some training. Whether it's training through running or training through lifting of weights, they have worked hard to prepare themselves so that they're ready and they can compete at the level that they want to compete. Well, that's what this word is kind of referring to or implying. That labor over a period of time. It says it worketh. Worketh. It tells us there, knowing this, the trying of your faith, worketh patience. Here's something to think about on this. When you go through one trial and two trials and three trials, I'll keep going, but we're count forever. You go through all these trials. You know what you learn? A few things first. Continuous obedience. Over and over and over, you trust in the Lord. Over and over and over, you put your faith in God. How about continuous patience? Over and over and over, you wait upon God. And then finally, submission. Over and over and over, you submit to God's will. and not yours. You see, what we find is that God blesses through these trials because we are strengthened through these trials. We are built up over and over and over, trusting in God, over and over and over, looking to God for strength. And as we are strengthened, God can bless us with more. And then here's the third thing we need to know. We need to know the reward. And yes, there is a reward. If you look here, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh, and then the reward is patience. The more tested you are, the more patient you are. I have noticed that in life, and maybe you have too. I have seen and met people that they don't need to tell me all the problems that they've gone through. They don't need to tell me all the trials and troubles that they've had. But I can tell they've been tested. And you can tell by their patience in life. It seems like they are willing to wait on things. They have grown to the point where they trust God in all areas of their life. They're not demanding things to happen now. They're not saying, God, get me over there. They are waiting upon God. See, that patience has grown through the years. You see, here's what adversity will do. It'll draw you closer to God. You say, well, how, Pastor? Well, through prayer, through faith, you're going to just draw closer to God through reading your Bible. And it's also going to strengthen you, build you up. The more difficulties you get through, the more you can look back and say, God has been good to me. He got me through this, 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 this. Now look where I'm at today. Here I am. God has blessed me. He's going to continue blessing me until He's ready to have me home with Him in heaven. And here's the reward. You know, it talks about patience there. Patience is referring to being content. In other words, it's going to teach us to be content with God as we walk with Him. Now consider that for a moment. It doesn't say your situation will change. It doesn't say life in this world is going to get any easier. It tells you you're going to be more patient. You're going to be content with what God has given you. And by the way, with contentment is peace of mind, peace of heart. You're going to be content with what God has given you, and you're going to trust Him as you walk with Him, no matter the situation. No matter the situation. So this morning, I'm going to leave you with a few thoughts in closing. First, you will have adversity. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you everything's going to be nice and easy, even after you are saved and you serve the Lord. It's not going to be a nice, easy life. You're going to have some trials and you're going to have some troubles. You will be tested in this life. You know, I don't know about you, but there were times where I failed the test and I had to retake it. You know, sometimes I think spiritually, maybe some of us fail tests and we got to retake them again because we failed. God's going to test us again and again and again. Maybe because we're stubborn and we don't look to Him. Well, you're going to be tested at times. And you have a choice. You have a choice on each one of these tests. I'll sum it up in three different ways. You can leave or cleave. Now that word cleave means stick to. You can leave Christ and try to do it on your own, or you can stick right next to Him. Another way to put it, you can forsake Him or you can follow Him. See, that's a choice you have through trials and adversity. Or here's a third way to put it. You can run away or you can remain faithful. What are you going to do when you're tested? What are you going to do when you're tried? If you're faithful to God, if you're faithful, that which threatens to pull you away from Him, the trouble and the trial, will actually draw you closer to God. Now think about that. I'm going to leave you with that this morning. When you are faithful and you choose to walk with God, that which threatens your faith will actually draw you closer to Him. That's why you rejoice when you go into these trials, knowing at the end you'll be closer to God than you were at the beginning.